There we go. Now we are November 11th, the PM sermon. And as I was looking through my Bible today in the last couple of days and seeing some things, and we're winding this thing down, the way things are going to start falling apart big time, there goes any money we have at all. And the debt just going to get bigger, and the cash is going to get smaller. And again, I appreciate you folks out there that helped the ministry here, or just helped me even personally. I don't know how I can thank you so much. I wouldn't have made it this far if some folks hadn't helped. And so we're looking at finally. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Paul says, finally, brethren, 5 times. I thought, well, you know what? Let's look at these things when he says finally. Then there's another finally in 1 Peter. But see, that's not our finally. That's finally during the tribulational thing. We'll talk about that as the night goes on here. Or as time goes on, I guess not. We're not going to do all of these tonight. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, because there's a lot in here. When Paul says finally, it's a lot like a pastor when he says, okay, here's my last verse. You've heard me say that. Or I'll say, yeah, we're just about done here. And then we go on for another 10, 15 minutes. We know we're famous for that kind of a thing. One more verse. You mean one more set of verses, one more group. Is that what you mean? So when Paul says finally, Then he just puts the stuff on everybody. His finally takes forever. So the one tonight is Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And when we look at all of his finalies, one of the things we will not see is we will not see Paul telling us to try to win the world to Christ, as we Baptists in the past have so aptly said. Let's go out and win the world to Christ. Well, here's where that comes from, by the way, bunny trail here, Revelation chapter 6. You see, Christians think that we need to go out and we need to conquer. We need to go out and win everybody to Christ by telling them all these things. We don't show them anything. We just tell them. Remember, being a Baptist pastor, I know of what I speak. And the Antichrist is the one that goes forth to conquer. It says, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And we don't see that in Revelation 19. Let's double check to make sure I'm not, spitting out the wrong mouth here. He has to go to war, but that's because they attack him. He has his eyes as a flame of fire. He was not happy. He was not coming to conquer. He was coming to, make the bill be paid. There's a difference there. Came in with armies and the whole thing. And he's going to smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron. Now, is that conquering? Well, it's a different thing. It's a different situation. When the Antichrist says he's going to come, when the Satan that he's going to come and conquer, then you go and you see what follows him. Yeah, horrible things follow him. Well, horrible things follow Christ when he comes. Yeah, but the things that Christ is doing, he's getting out the... He's actually like, this is, I don't wish to say this, he's like squeezing the pus out of the zit, and then when that zit gets taken care of, everything gets all healed and everything's fine. The Antichrist is coming to conquer, and everybody kills each other and takes peace from the world, and they should kill one another. This is totally different ball game here. So we get this attitude among Christianity that we need to go out and win the world to Christ. We need to preach to them. We need to give them soup and sandwiches. We need to do all this stuff, not realizing that we're supposed to just serve the living God, like Paul says. And they will see that. And they will see the joy that comes of the fact that we know that Christ took care of the law. And about the judgment seat of Christ. And about spiritual circumcision. About Romans chapter 6. Christ took care of sin. He doesn't just get people to stop sinning because he doesn't get people to stop sinning. He doesn't get people to stop doing the wrong thing. How many of us on our list here have stopped everything we shouldn't be doing? It's a whole different. It's just wrong preaching today. And so I thought, I wonder how many times Paul says win Christ. Let's go out there and win the world to Christ. But he doesn't say that. Matter of fact, win only shows up once in the New Testament, period, whether it be Paul or the Gospels or Peter or anybody. Paul says it one time, and it's in chapter 3. So I was reading chapter 3, and chapter 3 is like one gigantic big sentence. There's a couple sentences in there, but these are monstrously long points that he's making. So when he says, "Finally, my brethren," in verse 1, see, down in verse 8, he says, that I may win Christ. Excuse me, Paul? From what I understand, you've already got Christ. He met you way back in the road, and you got slammed, and you got blinded, and you've been through all this stuff. I mean, this is Philippians. He's still trying to win Christ? What are we talking about here? Winning Christ has nothing to do with salvation, as we will soon see. So in order for us to win people to Christ, I believe the Great Commission crowd, the modern Christian, which is explained very good in Timothy chapter 3 there, explained them very well, you know, godliness without denying the power thereof, imitation Christians, imitation churches by imitation pastors, preaching from an imitation book with an imitation spirit behind the whole thing, ending up with imitation Christians, praising this imitation God of theirs with imitation music. That's just what's going on. So, what are we talking about here, winning Christ? Well, we'll see that as we go through Philippians chapter 3. Again, just like this morning, mostly just scriptures. Okay, here we go. Philippians chapter 3, King James Bible, rightly divided. This is written to us as Gentiles. Now, except we're now saved Gentiles. We're the church of God. Okay. Finally, my brethren, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, that's good. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He's going to tell us some things that to us, these things are safe. This, you know, we want to be safe in this world. Here we go. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil worship workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, spiritual circumcision now, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So worshiping God in the Spirit goes right along with Acts 19 about the Paul preaching to the man on Mars Hill. And who do you think you are to worship God with your hands and your, you know, how you, this worship we have, it's all flesh worship. The music is fleshy. They're running around the building in the Baptist church, or they're listening to hillbilly music, which is banjo and guitar, and they're all fleshly pounding out rhythms with their guitars. And you got these modern Christians singing to their rock and roll stuff. That is not worship. God will not hear it. Never has, never will. So, we're different. We are of the circumcision. We are spiritually circumcised with operation made without hands. But he tells us to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, pastors and things. He talks about that in Second Corinthians chapter 11. Beware of the concision. Those are the people that are into the works thing. And we talked about that before. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. See, he says, and have no confidence in the flesh. But then he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. I mean, Paul is no doofus. Paul's been around. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I mean, Paul has done enough stuff that if he had to be a fake, he's got a record of being pretty good fake. I could trust my flesh. I could glorify my flesh. Look at all the stuff I've done here, you know. And then he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Well, he's of the stock, you know, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, which he's done, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was a good guy. Although in Romans chapter 7 he sure tells us he wasn't, doesn't he? Man, I wish I could have done the things I should have done, and I wish I hadn't done the things I shouldn't have done. Although he works it in such a manner that only God could have given hold him on to write that thing. But he says here, but what things were gained to me in his flesh, what he's done as the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, he's right there with his stuff, you know, he's done the stuff. But he says, those things that were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, so Paul's talking about his works as a Christian, not works to become a Christian. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what he wants to learn. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. See, right there we fizzle out as Christians because we don't want to lose these things. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Then here it is, that I may win Christ. So how does he win Christ? By the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ Jesus. Skip out the little skip out the phrase in there that's got the commas there. Here's your grammar lesson. And read that without that little comma out stuff here. But lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may win Christ. So as he learns about this risen Savior, as he learns about Christ, he's winning Christ. He's learning more. He's getting more. And then it says in verse 9, to be found in him. Well, Paul, you're already in him. He's already in you. You've already won Christ if we're talking about salvation, so that can't be what this is about. So when people say, let's go out and win the world to Christ, what are you talking about? You want to conquer these people? You want to make them believe? You want to, what are you going to do? You're going to win them to Christ by giving them soup when they're starving? Let's just give them soup because they're starving. That's not going to win them to Christ. People need to see us living the manner of life that Paul preaches as he was told face to face by the risen Savior. If we change those things in our lives, then people will want the joy that we still have as we worship this living God. Oh, wait, there's persecution involved here. We're not going to be tied to a stake and burnt. That's a different age. That's a different church age. That's not what we're talking about here. We all know what some persecution... So I knew that guy wouldn't last. These guys are King James guys, but they just can't. They just don't take it. They just want to hear it. Okay, so enough of that conversation for that guy. So we go back to verse 9. So anyway, Paul's not doing this. He's not winning Christ for salvation. He's winning Christ by learning more about him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. So you win Christ by knowing him. The more you study, the more you read, the more you know how he steps in and helps you realize that what you just did was wrong, but it's not being judged. The judgment's ready to take care of it. You understand more and more about the risen Savior, how he operates, what he's done, all this stuff. See, you win in Christ. You know him. The more you know him, the more you're winning of Christ. So this has nothing to do with salvation. Anyway, verse 10. Remember, this is Paul, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Well, what about that? Well, beware of dogs, evil workers, concision. You know, don't have confidence in your flesh, although you've done some pretty good stuff in the flesh. You're the right guy, you know. And if you think you've got your life together, mine's even better yet as a Paul guy, you know. Well, if anybody's a Paul guy, it'd be Paul. And he had the zeal. He had so much zeal that he persecuted and killed and tortured Christians. Talk about Jewish zeal. He had all that. So he realizes now that whatever he does, whatever he did in those days was loss. To him it was gain, but it was loss for Christ. So now that he's learning about Christ, he's got the knowledge of Christ, and he learns more and more, he's winning Christ, and he's being found in him, but it's not based on his righteousness, it's based on Christ. So he knows him more. And, verse 10, the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. We should understand some of those. We don't understand what it's like to go through what he did. But we still suffer some persecution. A little. Maybe just a snidgen compared to him. Being made, you know, you got these guys down in South America that they crucify themselves. They have people actually nail their hands to a board, you know, and they do the crucifixion thing. And I can just see these guys telling Jesus in their judgment, you know, the white stone judgment, telling God, he said, listen, I did that. Well, Christ is going to say, well, I did that. Why did you have to do that? I did that so you wouldn't have to do that. Boy, who's your pastor anyway down there? Oh, Father McGillicuddy, huh? Well, no wonder you didn't get it. Out you go. That's too bad, you know. So, we win Christ. We know more about him. We know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. Are we? We're really being made conformable unto his death. We don't want to suffer anything. We don't want to die in any department. Leave it to Obama. We're going to die in a lot of departments here pretty soon. Are we going to die and suffer for Christ? Are we going to be persecuted for Christ's sake? Or is it just because we got a stupid government and we let this happen? Okay? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, he's talking like he's lost and he wants to win Christ. No. Not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect, complete, finished, you know. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So what Christ has done for him, he wants to respond. Well, didn't he say that's a reasonable service in Romans chapter 12? Sure he does. I should sing, anyway. Then he says, verse 13, okay. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So he knows he's not there yet. We know we're not there. Is he talking about he hasn't apprehended salvation? Go back to the context. He hasn't apprehended. He's not doing everything like he should be doing. He's learning about Christ. He's winning Christ, but he hasn't arrived yet. But he says this, but this one thing I do, and if we could do this, if we could all do this ourselves, we'd be a happier individual. But this one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, I heard a really strange beep. Did we go offline here? Is everybody still there? Yep, we're there. Okay. That was a weird sound. Okay. Anyway, so if we can forget about those things that are in our past as lost people, for example, well, it's hard to forget about it when we still do them, you know? And we talk about them and we laugh about them. But how about doing those things that we've done since we're Christians? And we tried to clean up our act. We tried to read different things. We tried to watch different things. Or we tried to stop doing things. And how many have given up over the last couple of years, last couple of months or whatever? Well, we're back. We're still here. We got what, 1, 2, 3, 4 tonight, 5 counting Mark, 6 counting me. I have to be here, har. Well, you know, if we could just forget all the stuff that went on in the past and reach forth into those things which are before, it'd fix marriages, it'd fix relationships, it would fix our whining and our pity parties. Remember I said a long time ago, happy new second? Remember that a while ago? Anyway. Then he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This all sounds so much like Paul's waiting to get saved. And we know that's not the case. He's trying to live up to being a Christian. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, complete, finished, be thus minded. Be what minded? Just what he said, 13 and 14. And maybe he's being a little sarcastic here, you know, possibly, I suppose. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Well, why? Because he says, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. In other words, these people who are perfect really aren't. And be thus minded, what Paul just said, you know, forget about those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before and press toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling. Not talking about salvation, it's talking about being the kind of Christian we're supposed to be. And if you're thus minded like that, and just in case if anything be otherwise minded, God would reveal it unto you. Because you think you're perfect, so you think you're done. Well, we're not done, and we know, as we talked about recently, how is God going to reveal this unto you? From your scripture reading. Not from dreams, not from visions, not from your heart and your feelings, you know, and your little inner turmoils and all this kind of stuff. You're going to get it from reading your scriptures. God will not reveal to us anything other than through the scriptures. I believe that. I preach that. I'll teach that till I die. Because that's what the scripture has been shown to us here. Okay. So after all this, about telling these people who as many as be perfect, you know, be thus minded, and maybe God will show you some more. Then he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Okay, so we have gained some ground. We have gone someplace. We have changed. We have made a change in our lives somewhere. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What's that? Forgetting about those things which are behind, reach forth into those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of thy calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's do the same thing. Okay, so we have grown. We have, but don't quit. Don't give up. Right? See, I still believe one of the worst things I was ever told as a young Christian is to read my Bible 10 pages a day, and if I didn't get the time, I'd get those 10 pages in. I had no idea what I was reading. I just didn't take my time. And then one day I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to listen to Alexander Scorby. We're going to go through from, I was preaching at the time, pastor. I'm going to go from Genesis 1 to Revelation end. And I'm going to let Scorby read the Bible to me, and I'm going to make notes as I go for possible sermons, possible thoughts, you know, questions I might have. I'm just going to listen to this thing. And by the time I was done, I was ready to realize we need to preach Paul as our apostle, and it all just made sense. You read through the Bible from the beginning. We got Adam and Eve. We got Noah, we got Abraham, all these things too. We got the Ten Commandments, we got the law, all that kind of stuff. You got Jesus coming down, God manifests himself in the flesh, told his Jews what they had to do to follow him, to believe that he was the Christ. Well, they killed him, and he goes to Peter again, and Peter says, listen, you guys, you killed your Messiah, here's what you need to do. And thus the church gets it started, and then they all kill the preacher, and then Christ himself goes to this guy named Paul, who is a jerk of all jerks and killing Christians all over the place. You know, God picks out the worst guy in the world to serve him, and he strikes him blind and says, listen, if you don't want to stay blind your whole life, here's what I want you to do. You're going to suffer in my name for my sake. And he goes off to the Gentiles, which is us. And then when this thing is all done, boom, we're out of here. And thus begins thus begins Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd Peter and Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. And that's all tribulation stuff. It makes so much sense. It's so simple. So those of us, we realize that we are still supposed to try to walk in what we've attained and don't give up on it. Let us walk by the same rule. Meaning, forget those things which are behind or reach forth unto those things which are before. Keep going forward. We go back way too much. Now look at 18. I'm sorry, 17. Brethren, here he goes, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Right. Where are the Paul guys today? Mid-acts? No way. They are mid-actors. If they are truly saved, based on their King James Bible, etc., etc., they are not being told how to attain anything. Let's just live under God's grace, listen to the music we want, dress the way you want, let the ladies run the church, let the men, you know, the whole thing. I've got a certain couple of sermons on that thing. No, he says, be followers together of me and mark them which walk. Walk. Where's the lady dressing modestly? Where's the man being not just a grump and a king and a prince in the home and all that stuff? No, he's got, what's that, how's that go? How's Paul say that? He says, to exhort your family. He says to charge your family and then comfort your family. Don't just be such a king, such a dictator. Now that you got your Bible, here's how it's going to be, family. You know, that doesn't work. The only thing charging going on in families today are the things that we want to buy. Anyway, whatever. So yes, we are to look for these people. Well, you know and I know, this is why we're on the internet with our little church. We had a church at one time. We got away from the Baptist thing, got into the Paul thing. Well, that went over really fine for a long time until we got into the walk. And then the fireworks began. They never made it to the sky. They never made it out of the building. They stayed right there in the building, and I had to duck during sermons because of the fiery darts flashed at me. The rumors and the hate and the lying that took place and the people changing their ways. And I said, you know what? We got to get out of here. We got out of here, and we can't find it. We tried to do a church in Ohio. Yeah, right. The Baptist guy destroyed that before I even got there. And where is all this stuff that Paul preaches going on in these churches to these people? See? So, here we are. Internet. Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday night. If there's even time for that. And I guess there's readers out there, but I don't hear from any of them anymore. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just us 10 or so that we've got hanging in. I think there's more. But who knows, you know? So here's what he says. Mark them which walk, like Paul walks, his manner of life. That's what we're supposed to be looking for. Now he says about these that walk, for many walk. Parentheses, no. Remember that. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's people out there walking like a Christian, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul preaches the cross of Christ. Now, don't get caught up in the cross thing. The cross is more than just Christ on the cross. Christ is off the cross now. But you got to preach that. But if you stay on the cross, you're in the Gospels. In fact, the Gospels, that was even before the cross. Hebrews 16 says that if you don't... I'll see, the other guy didn't make it. They don't even last to this stuff. Maybe I'm just sounding grumpy. No. These guys have to have the shouting Southern Christians, Southern pastors, to make them think they're getting preached at, you know. Get on the pulpits and scream and yell and cry and the whole bit. Anyway, where was that? The cross thing. Okay, so they're acting like, they walk like they're Christian, but actually Paul says they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. You know, look at this. Just thought of this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's what's going on out there. Whose end is destruction. Well, we know that. Whose God is their belly. We know that. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What are we minding? We mind earthly things. Well, we have to. We're on this earth. And Paul says, if you're going to work, you've got to work on this earth. Doesn't say that to the ladies, he says that to the guys. Okay, for our conversation is in heaven. See, ours is in heaven. It's our walk, not just our, we're not, you know, cell phoning heaven. It's our walk, it's our conversation. It's our manner of life is what he's talking about here. For our conversation is in heaven. For whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ, by the way, verse 21, he's going to change our vile body, and it is a vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's cool. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's in control. Now, is he making all these things happen? No. That's not what I mean by control. He's not sovereign in the fact that everything that happens, God is making this happen. Well, why did my baby die? Why did we have that hurricane? Why did we have this? God made this happen? No, God, I don't blame God for that stuff. He's not teaching somebody a lesson. He's not going to teach the airplane pilot a lesson and kill him in the plane crash while 200 other people die innocently in the whole... No, the thinking of Christians nowadays is just beyond stupid. But we know in Romans chapter 2, he says, he's basically letting the world go on because of his grace. And these people are pleasuring up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath. He's letting them get away with it, but they're not going to get away with it. And he's given them time to get right with this stuff, to realize the truth of this Bible, to realize the truth of being a Christian, to realize what the risen Savior did, not what the earthly Jesus talked about to the Jews, and to get that thing taken care of. One of these days, when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, he's going to be done to the Gentiles, and boy, are things going to change. Is it going to be obvious? No, I'm starting to think not, because we're already starting to see some tribulational flavor in our day-to-day living here, in this world. But, you know, when the rapture comes, because that's when he has to cut off the Gentiles, then it instantly begins Hebrews. Then they can preach out of Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Peter, 1st and 2nd, and Jude, all they want. But I don't believe they will. I think Satan will have them go back to Paul's teachings, because remember, Peter says, look at what Paul taught, we don't understand it. I think these guys would be preaching God's grace during the tribulation. Go ahead, take the mark. God loves you. God won't let that happen to you. In fact, the new Bibles are not going to have that in there. What Bible is it now that has the Christians are supposed to take the mark? NIV is one of them. NIV tells you that Christians are supposed to take the mark, and that mark is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see if I can remember how that goes. Ephesians chapter 1. It's my favorite verse, 12, you know. 12 and 13. It says they are sealed. Ephesians, come on, Ephesians. My pages are like air thin anymore. Ephesians chapter 1, which it says, ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. NIV Bible, and some other ones say that they take the mark. It's the mark of the Holy Spirit. The mark? Whoa! No. We don't take any mark in the tribulation. Well, they're not going to take any mark during the tribulation, but their Bibles are going to tell them to. Isn't it just wild? The only way you can figure this stuff out is get a King James Bible compared to other Bibles, and you'll see what's going on. Take your King James Bible, rightly divide that thing, and you can see what's going on in the King James Bible camps, as they call them. It's a mess. And how many of us are going to get, someday in our future, going to get caught up in these deceitful, lying churches where God says they are the enemies of Christ? Where are we at here? I'm in Philippians. He says they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, these nice churches that we all have been to and may go again. Not me. Okay. So there's the end of chapter 3. Finally, brethren. Then he says in chapter 4, because we're supposed to learn and understand chapter 3, then he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. There he is, standing fast again. That's amazing, huh? And we got 1, 2, 3... Four other finalies to look at, as well as one that isn't to us, but is still interesting to read it. Now that we understand what's going on in the tribulation for these poor folks. So, we'll end it there.